And Paul said, God forbid that you should abound in sin, that grace may abound. Right? So he, because a lot of people might say the same thing. Well, I got this lawyer, right? I got this advocate. So let me go ahead and do all the stuff that I want to do. Let me do all the wrong that I want to do because I got a lawyer that's pleading my case. But let me tell you something. Man, you should love this lawyer so much. Man, your heart should be so consumed, and you should love this lawyer who's interceding for you so much that you would say, Lord, because I love you, that I'm not going to make sin a habit in my life. And as John wrote, but it's good to know that if I do sin, that I have an advocate.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Altar of Incense, Part 1, from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Altar of Incense.
All right, we're going to continue on with our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. And I'm going to ask that you would stand as we read the Word of God this morning. And we've been reading the same passage every service, so we should have this one in our spirit. Might not even need to see the words, just quote it from our hearts. Exodus chapter 40 verses 33 through 38 in the easy to read version. So Moses finished all the work. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Moses could not enter into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the holy tent. When the cloud rose from the holy tent, the Israelites would begin to travel. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud. So all the Israelites could see the cloud while they traveled. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's message is about intercession. Intercession. We're going to look at, and let me announce at the beginning of the message that there's a lot to it, so I've actually broken it up into two parts. So this is actually what we'll get today is part one. Intercession. We're going to look at Christ. Intercession for us, and then we're going to look at how we intercede for others. Do you know that there are other people that, whether they know it or not, depending on you to pray for them? I think of, I have four kids, seven grandkids, and one great grand. And every morning, my wife and I, we pray for each one by name. We pray for each one by their specific need. Because you know one thing that I realize? And I have people here at Bethany that tell me, Pastor, I'm praying for you and your family. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that you pray for me and my family. You don't know how much that means to me. But there's one thing I know, that if nobody else is praying for Nicole, Daniel, Jonathan, Rachel, Tasia, Khalil, Corey, Casey, Jeremiah, Bryce, and Olivia, and Silas, I know two people that are every day. And that's what we call intercession. That intercession is when you pray for someone else. And just think if, again, we keep ringing the theme throughout our messages, is that when you come, you have to bring God with you. He's not sitting here waiting for you to show up, but you bring him with you. And can you imagine if you show up here on Sunday morning, throughout the week, having prayed for others, throughout the week, having taken others and placed them on the throne of God, how much fire and power that would have as you show up here on Sunday morning. And so intercession is the message that we're going to talk about. And we're also going to sprinkle in some things about prayer that will motivate and encourage our hearts. As we view the tabernacle, we've been going in the tabernacle through the left-hand side, the bottom gate, and the first thing you run into when you go into the tabernacle is the altar. And this is where they offered the sacrifices. That was the first thing the worshiper saw when they went into the, and this is called the outer court, right? So the first thing they saw was the brazen altar. And then beyond that was the laver. And that's where the priests washed to prepare for service. And then we slip under the tent. And so we leave the outer court where the brazen altar and the laver were, and we go back into what's called the holy place. And in the holy place, and we've already looked at this, was the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, and today we arrive at the altar of incense. The altar of incense. In the next coming weeks, we'll be looking at the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to leave the outer court, we're going to leave the holy place, and we're going to enter into the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go one time a year. So today, we stop in the holy place to look at the altar of incense. We've been giving a brief description of each of these, and in your notes, you have a detailed description of this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving a description, but the altar of incense was about a foot and a half square, and it was about 3 feet high. There were two golden rings on the side for transporting. Now, you might want to make that correction, because in the notes I did put four, but it's actually two gold rings. Now, just think, all the other, the brazen altar and the laver had four hooks on the side, and they would slide these poles through the hooks, and when they got ready to move, they would pick it up by the poles. And that's why Uzzah got in trouble, right? Because they had said to put the ark, there was rings on the side specifically designed for the ark. And they were to put these poles through, they call them staves, they would put these poles through, and they were to carry it by the poles. And Uzzah, well, and it probably wasn't just him, so God might have, should have, could have wiped out more than he did Uzzah, because when the ark started to slide, y'all remember what Uzzah did, right? He tried to hold it up with his hand, and God struck him dead right there. Right there on the spot, God took his life. And why did he take his life? We might say, well, man, he was trying to do a good thing, right? He was trying to save the ark from falling on the ground. Well, the fact of the matter is, if they had did it like God told them to do it, that would have never happened, right? And, you know, back in the day, we had an expression that I'm not going to finish the expression, but I'm going to start it, and that is a hard head. So the Israelites, they had hard heads. And so instead of them carrying the ark by the poles, they put it on a cart, all right, which God never intended for them to carry it that way. But we see the other pieces of furniture had four rings to put the staves through, and this one only has two. And I was, you know, I did research and I was saying, well, why does the other ones have four and this one just has two rings to slide the poles through? And the best answer that I could find was that the other pieces of furniture were pretty heavy. You know, that altar where they burned those animals and that laver where they washed, poured that water and washed, they were pretty heavy. But this one was pretty light. So instead of them needing four rings and poles to carry it, they just needed a ring on each side and slide the pole through. That's what I found out. So we see that this particular piece of furniture only had two rings. The materials that were found in the altar of incense, it was made of acacia wood. And I was wondering, now, why does it say acacia wood, right? Because this wood back in this time would have been a more sturdy wood. It would have been resistant to any type of infestation. So that's why they used acacia wood, and they would overlay it with gold. The poles that they used to transport the altar were made of acacia wood also, and they were also overlaid with gold. And then the incense that was burned on the altar was made of different spices, one of which was frankincense, and all these were sweet spices. And that's going to become important, saints. Oh, that's going to become important, that these were sweet spices, right? Oh, man, I can't wait till I get to that part right there. The position of the altar. The altar of incense was in front of the veil that took you back into the Holy of Holies. So before you went back into the Holy of Holies, the last thing that you saw was the altar of incense. What was the function of the altar? It was known as the place for burning incense. It was also known as the altar of gold or the golden altar because it was made out of gold. Only the priests could offer incense on the altar. You remember, I think it was Uzziah. He went into the holy place. He was the king, right? He went into the holy place and he offered incense upon the altar. And those of you who are Bible scholars, you know what happened to him. He got smote with leprosy because he wasn't supposed to do it. Only the priests could offer incense. And on the Day of Atonement, the priests would take the coals and the incense into the Holy of Holies. And so there would be that sweet smelling aroma back in the Holy of Holies as the priests went back there. It was burned two times a day. There was a morning time when they burned the incense, and then there was the evening time when they burned the incense. And so, you know, the morning prayers, rising up before the, man, I got to get to this one spot where we talk about the incense and what, I'm going to get there. All right. But it was burned twice a day, and it symbolized the prayers that were going up from the people. We see that there were no utensils, like with other pieces of furniture had utensils associated with it, that there was really no utensils associated with it. And then one day a year, on the Day of Atonement, the priests would take blood off of the altar. Now, this was the brazen altar, and he would sprinkle it on the horns of the altar of incense for purification and rededication. So once a year, the altar of incense had to be purified and it had to be rededicated. And so the priest would take the blood of an animal that was offered on the altar and sprinkle it. Now, because this incense was so heavenly, there was such a heavenly aroma that if you were in your tent as an Israelite and you were smoking herb and you wanted to light some incense to cover it, God would judge you. Well, you know, that might be an extreme example, right? Let me bring it down to another example, right? Because it smells so good that you might want to use it as cologne or perfume. And God knew that, and he specifically forbid them to use this mixture for anything else. As a matter of fact, if you used it for anything else, the judgment of God would come upon you. If you use this incense for, like I said, any other purpose, you could expect the hand of God to come down. And then they were not supposed to offer strange incense before the Lord. They were not supposed to offer strange incense before the Lord. You remember the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, that they offered strange fire before the Lord. See, man, you know what? Thank God for his grace and for his mercy. Because God didn't play with folk back then, right? If he told you to do something and you didn't do it the way that he told you to do it, he was taking you out. And so Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire. And next thing you know, man, they was pulling them out. And so, you know, and I'm not sure what they offer strange fire, but I'm not sure what the strange incense, but I think what it was, that mixture that God gave to mix it with, if you put anything else in there but that, that probably was a strange incense. And God rejected that offering. And so we see this is the altar of incense. And the first thing that I want to point out is this, that the priest went back and he offered the incense as prayers on behalf of the people. And so the priest actually interceded for the people. And so the first thing that I want to say is that Christ is our intercessor. He is the one who intercedes for us. If you go to that next slide, please. And we see, okay, the next slide. There you go. All right. Two scriptures. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The second thing, second verse that we see, wherefore Christ is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth forever to make intercession for them. So Christ is our mediator. He is the one who makes intercession for us. And so as a intercessor, there's two things that Christ does. He is our advocate and he is our mediator. He is our advocate. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, my goodness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, this verse, these two verses are packed with a whole lot of heavy theology. And it would probably take me 4 or 5 Bible studies just to unpack the theology of these two verses. But let me just stick with one. And the first thing that I want to say is that he is our advocate. That whenever we sin, that Jesus Christ is advocating for us. That because he died on the cross, because he shed his blood on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. Now, he says that we shouldn't sin. He tells us that we should not sin. Right? That should be our objective. Our objective should be to get up every day and try to live a life where we hit the mark of not sinning. But because we are who we are, we're going to sin. You're going to get angry at somebody. You're going to let a word slip out of your mouth that you probably shouldn't have let slip out. You're going to get a bad attitude about something. And so he says, I'm writing that you don't sin, but just in case you do, you've got an advocate with the Father. So here's Pastor Glaze, right? Every day, you know, I get up and I try to say, Lord, I got another day to get it right, right? Another day to get it right. Another day to live this life to your glory. So I'm purposing in my heart not to do wrong, to think wrong, say wrong, right? But it happens. It happens, right? And so whenever I sin in my sanctified imagination, God got this chalkboard in heaven. Now, I know he don't have a chalkboard, right? All right, but just go along with me for it. He got this chalkboard in heaven. And he says, oh, there goes Glaze again, man. You know, look, another one. Get ready to put that sin down, right? But I got a lawyer. That's standing right there. That says, oh, wait a minute. You can't do that. Well, why not? Because he's been covered by the blood. He's been washed in the blood. And so you cannot lay that sin to his account. And so I got somebody in heaven that's advocating for me, right? And I hope that my advocation by my lawyer is just periodically throughout the day. There's some folk that the lawyer is pleading your case, right? And you hear you sin, and the lawyer goes to plead your case. Plead your case. Turn around. You don't. Jesus gets dizzy, right? From all the spinning around that he's doing. But it's good to know. And you know, some people will say, well, since we got this forgiveness, let us keep sinning. Because in Romans chapter 6, the more sin that we commit, the more grace that we'll get. And Paul said, God forbid that you should abound in sin, that grace may abound. So he, you know, because a lot of people might say the same thing. Well, I got this lawyer, right? I got this advocate. So let me go ahead and do all the stuff that I want to do. Let me do all the wrong that I want to do because I got a lawyer that's pleading my case. But let me tell you something. Man, you should love this lawyer so much. Man, your heart should be so consumed and you should love this lawyer who's interceding for you so much. That you would say, Lord, because I love you, that I'm not going to make sin a habit in my life. And as John wrote, but it's good to know that if I do sin, that I have an advocate with the Father. And so when it talks about Christ being our intercessor, the first thing it means is that he's our lawyer. But I like the second one when it says that Christ is our intercessor, because that means he is our mediator.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Altar of Incense. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Altar of Incense, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Altar of Incense. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Altar of Incense. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When Anchored in Jesus can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.